Amen. Shall we turn back to Hebrews and chapter 11 and to verse 23. That song in some ways sums up some of what we are aiming to look at this evening. The question we are asking as we go through chapter 11 of Hebrews, through in our series through Hebrews, is what does it mean to live by faith? What does it mean for us to live by faith? And the writer here is painting a picture from different people's lives, showing us what it meant for different people, how they stepped out and lived by faith. And today we're particularly looking at Moses. What do we learn from Moses and from his example of what it means to live by faith? And I think perhaps to notice in this passage three key thoughts, three key ideas. Firstly, faith does not fear. Faith does not fear. Look at verse 23. We look firstly at, not at Moses himself, but at the faith of Moses' parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So here we have this couple, the parents of Moses. And the king, the Pharaoh, has issued an edict saying that all male babies must be killed. And anybody who doesn't do that, anybody who seeks to protect a male child, will themselves be punished with death. The parents chose to disobey the king's commandment because they obeyed God's commandment. And it tells us they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, one of the questions that will or may come out as we look through this passage is this. Were they really not afraid? Were they really not afraid at all? Is that what it means? If you look a little later on, when we see Moses himself, in verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. Now, if you go back to Exodus in chapter 2, if this is referring to Moses fleeing from Egypt, it very specifically says there, Moses fled because he was afraid. So, what does it mean where it says here that he wasn't afraid? If in Exodus it says he was afraid. Well, am I allowed to say this? There are different ways of being afraid. If I'm standing in the middle of the road and then realize that there is this great bus lumbering at full speed down the road towards me, my fear of getting run over will hopefully mean that I will leap out of the road out of the way of the bus. It is not a wrong thing to be aware of a danger. And it is not a wrong thing to feel that awareness of a danger. And there are all sorts of things and all sorts of ways in this life where we feel fear. Moses, when he chose to flee from Egypt, he was fearful for his life. He was very aware of the danger that he was in, that Pharaoh was angry with him, that he wanted to kill him. When it speaks here about not being afraid, and when we say that faith does not fear, what we mean very specifically is not that we don't feel those things that are fearful, but rather that when we fear them, we choose to obey God rather than giving way to that fear. And then, yes, in that context, we'll seek for that peace of Christ that passes all understanding. As we look back through the history of the church, we can see many, many examples of people who were, in one sense, rightly afraid, very aware of the dangers they were in and the sufferings that might come their way. By following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. But chose not to give in or to give way to that fear, but rather chose to trust in the Lord and to obey God. So Moses' parents here, they were very aware of the king's edict. They were very aware of the dangers that it held. But they were not willing to break God's law. And we see something here of they had a sense from the child itself, from the appearance of the child itself, that this was a special child in God's purposes. They saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edicts. They were willing to break the king's laws. But that didn't stop them being very careful. They still hid the child. They were still very careful of how they did it. There have been times in this country, and there are today places around the world where there is persecution. There, during one particular reign of Queen Mary in this country, there were a number of church leaders who were, and others as well, who were burnt at the stake for their Christian faith. And many of them were arrested, and it wasn't so much you are a Protestant, therefore you will be put to death, but rather would ask them a particular theological question. And if they gave the wrong answer, they knew that they would die. And yet they were willing to speak what they believed, even at that, over those, in one sense, small matters. Even though they knew that by their words they were sentencing themselves to death. It wasn't that death didn't bother them. It wasn't that they were quite happy to go and stand in a fire and that it wouldn't hurt them at all and that's just normal. No, not at all. They were, in one sense, deeply fearful. but were willing to walk that path for Christ's sake. You may be aware of one particular example in the city of Oxford, where two men were being taken up to be burned in the centre of Oxford, and all huge crowds were there of their congregations and others. And the younger man was afraid. And the older man says to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for today we shall set alight a fire in this country that will never be put out. Doesn't mean we don't suffer from fear. Doesn't mean we're not aware of the dangers and we don't feel them strongly. But in the face of those dangers, Moses' parents were willing to disobey the king, and if need be, take whatever consequences came their way." Faith does not fear. Rather, faith stands up in the face of fear and loves the Lord and follows him. So when we are tempted to go the world's way, when we are tempted to fear and to give way, we are to stand firm. As Paul puts it in Ephesians chapter 6, "Stand firm, therefore, having done all to stand." Stand firm, loving and obeying the law. So faith does not fear. Secondly, faith treasures the reproach of Christ. Faith treasures the reproach of Christ. That word reproach contains different ideas, but it's the idea of being laughed at, being scorned, being mocked, even being persecuted because of Christ. So, verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin." We don't really know the details of the inner workings of Moses' thoughts and mind as he grew up in that royal palace, as part of the royal family. We don't know the struggles that he went through in emotionally, I suppose, in his earlier days and in this time. We know that he was willing to stand up for somebody who was being wrongly treated. But as a result of that, he was forced to flee. But what is going on here? Moses had a choice, didn't he? Moses had a choice. When he saw one of the Hebrews being beaten, he had the choice. He could either say, "That's got nothing to do with me," and walk on, and go back to the palace and enjoy his life there with all the pleasures that it held. And presumably it would have been easy for him to justify doing that. But he was willing to step in. He was willing to do what was right, He was willing to stand up for one of the people of God and therefore to suffer the consequences. He had a choice that he took. A choice to love God and therefore to be associated with God's people. Now, if you think about it for ourselves in our day, that's not necessarily the hardest of things. I mean, some people might walk into the church here and feel it's pretty awful to be associated with us. But as a rule, to go to church, some people might scorn that a little. But imagine Moses. Here he is from the Egyptian aristocracy, choosing to stand up for and therefore to be associated with those who were slaves in Egypt. They were not even Egyptians. They were despised by Egyptians. But here was Moses willing to go and stand alongside them and to take the consequence of doing that. That was the choice that he had. Choosing rather to be mistreated along with them, to be wronged along with them, rather than choosing to continue that life of luxury and pleasure as part of the royal family, as part of Pharaoh's family. But in order to do that, he would need to leave behind compassion for his people. So again, choosing rather, verse 25, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Faith treasures the reproach of Christ. Faith is not afraid to be seen to be a Christian. Faith is to not afraid to be associated with God's people. Faith is not afraid to be scorned because you are a Christian. Faith treasures the reproach of Christ. Moses was able to say of them, of the Hebrews, they are my people. They are my people. And that is true of us today. As Christians, we are to look at the church, and we can look at the church and say, they are my people. They are my family. And I am willing to stand with them, even if it leads to suffering. And perhaps we will know some people ourselves who, because of their faith in Christ, go through great trials and troubles in their relationships with others, suffer great reproach from others. Today, many face a similar choice. Think of folk in the Muslim world. When somebody chooses to come to Christ, they enter into a world of suffering. There are from when I lived in Jordan, there were situations where somebody would come to Christ, a lady might come to Christ, and her children would be taken away from her. Or a man has come to Christ, and his wife would leave and take the children and would be supported in that. And in other parts of the Arab world, much greater suffering than that. Where to come to Christ, to be associated with God's people, brings great suffering. But look at what the passage tells us. Verse 26 says this: Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. You can count up, he says, all those treasures in Egypt. And these days we're sort of discovering the sorts of treasures they had. And as a son in the family of the Pharaoh, Moses would have tasted of those treasures more than anybody else. But for Moses, that reproach of suffering with God's people is of greater value. What an amazing thing to say. That to be scorned and persecuted because you are with and one of God's people is seen as great treasure and great wealth and something to be valued. The reproach of Christ is considered greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. But why? Well, look at what it says in the verse. For he was looking to the reward. For he was looking to his heavenly home. You see, on an earthly level, the treasures of Egypt and all that Moses would have rejoiced in this world, they were vast. In earthly terms in those days, they were overwhelming. And who wants reproach? Who wants to be mistreated? What value is in that? But that reproach is part of our heavenly homes. It's linked in to that heavenly home that is coming. That reproach of Christ that we have to bear now holds within it the promise of eternity, of glory. The two go together. We'll perhaps be aware of various passages that make that very clear in the New Testament. So in Romans in chapter 8, we read in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. It's the Spirit who helps us to identify with the people of God. To say, they are my people, I am one of them. That we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. The path of faith in this life, of which the end is glory, is a path that includes reproach and suffering for Christ's sake. The suffering now, it doesn't cause the heavenly glory, but it's the path that leads to it by faith. So, when we say that faith treasures the reproach of Christ, the reason is because we look through it and beyond it to see the heavenly glory that is coming. And that we can look at every piece of reproach, every piece of suffering that somebody might pass through, and say, this suffering now is creating for me a wealth of glory, of that heavenly reward. Faith treasures the reproach of Christ. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. And then thirdly, faith looks to Christ. Faith looks to Christ. So faith is not afraid. Faith treasures the reproach of Christ. And thirdly, faith looks to Christ. Verse 27 takes us back to that early point where he fled from Egypt. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Why was Moses not afraid? Why was Moses willing to stand firm despite the anger of the king? And the answer is because he was looking through all those circumstances to God himself. He was looking and to and seeing the one who is invisible. He was looking by faith. He was looking up and able to say, but I see God himself. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. For a Christian today, in all those trials and troubles that we go through, we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We look to him, we look and see with those eyes of faith, we see the one who is not visible to our eyes, but is very real and true to our hearts. Now, this is true in every part and every area of living the Christian life. We are faithful to him because we love him. We follow him because we see him by faith. We honor him because we know he is there. So, for instance, when we come together, meeting together as the church, we are to be very conscious that it is Christ himself who is the head of the church. That it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is here in the midst, not seen with our eyes. But yet we are deeply conscious of his presence. And that's why we come together with a sense of a measure of fear and trembling, of awe. Because the living God is here in our midst. We see him who is invisible. But also in the last verse, verse 28, because he was looking to the Lord, it meant he did something very radical. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Now that was a step of faith, wasn't it? To go out to the people and say, look everybody, everybody's got to get access to a lamb. Doesn't have to be your own. You can come together as families. But go out and find a lamb. and sacrifice that lamb and take the blood of the lamb and smear it over your door. Why would we do that? It's going to be awful to clean afterwards. Why would they do that? Because they look to the Lord who is coming in wrath and judgment. Because they believed God when he said that the destroyer is coming. They believed God when he said that the only way of deliverance was to have that blood of the Lamb smeared over their doorpost. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. So when the destroyer passed over and saw the blood, well, he passed over those houses and didn't touch them. This is telling us that Moses was in a very important way looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses was looking to Jesus, not by name. He didn't magically know the history that was coming and how that would work out, but he did know that God's salvation was coming, that God's Savior was coming, that one like unto him would come. Moses was looking forward to the blood of Jesus Christ that is smeared over our lives to protect us from the judgment that is coming. There is a judgment. God will hold all to account, hold all accountable for what we have done and how we have lived in this world. And the only way to be delivered from that judgment is through the blood of the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Deliverer. And Moses, by taking this step of faith, by faith he kept the Passover. He was truly looking forward to the Lord Jesus. Faith looks to Jesus Christ. For you and me today as Christians, if you are somebody who is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk and to live by faith means having a deep consciousness of Jesus Christ. A deep consciousness of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Of what he has done for us, of how much he has loved us. Faith means looking to the Lord. Faith means trusting in Christ. So there are these three different elements of what it means to live by faith. Faith means not to be afraid, not to give way to earthly fears. And there are so many ways in which we might be tempted to do that. But faith means that willingness to stand back and to ask that question, what does it mean to honor the Lord in these circumstances for me today? To step out in faith and not give way to fear. Faith means that we treasure the reproach of Christ. That when hardship comes, when suffering comes, when difficulty comes, we don't give in to that fear, that temptation, maybe to turn back to the world a little, to compromise, maybe to think to ourselves, maybe I can have a bit of that and a bit of this. But faith is willing to bear that reproach because we see in it the reproach of Christ. We see in it something that is to be treasured, because we see it bringing us to and leading us to our heavenly home. This is where Christ is. To bear this reproach is what it means for me to walk with Christ, to be near to Christ, to draw near to Him, the one who is most wonderful, who is most precious. And the reason that we treasure that reproach of Christ is because the reproach of Christ is of to be with Christ, even in suffering, is far greater worth and value than anything else in this world. To bear the reproach of Christ. And faith looks to Him. Faith has this very active conscious dependence upon the Lord Jesus day by day. We walk with Him. So let us, as the writer to the Hebrews here is encouraging us, let us look to the Lord Jesus. Look to the next chapter. It begins in verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1, begins by saying, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and then jumping to verse 2, it says this, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Well, let us look to Him this evening. Amen.